is perfecting, particularly like being perfected?
I speak to you, right? So not to a new one, not to a young brother. I speak to you. And by extension, I speak to all of us here. We all should do the work of perfecting. So I would almost say, it's very high. Yeah. So I would say, don't just think about, I need to be perfected. Think about, I need to perfect. Just a very short personal experience. I never thought to perfect people, right? Going around perfecting people. But as it were, in my, a little bit after my, after beyond my mid-20s, I was sent to this locality and to raise up a church. Very young, I myself, not experienced, that experienced, you know, and still a lot to learn in my mid-20s. But I was thrust in that situation with many ones younger than me. So I'm talking about ones in the late teens, college age, maybe a little bit more than that. And in some cases, some that are a little bit even older than me. All right. So not that old. And so whether I like it or not, or even whether I had the concept or the word perfecting or not, looking back, I did a good measure of perfecting. And I will tell you that if I had learned more, if I had more experience, probably my perfecting would be higher quality. You know what I mean. But nevertheless, in that particular situation, I did what I could. And I had the heart to help the saints. This is very clear. So, here we go. Okay, so I did that. And the first thing I would like to tell you, like many things in the service life, in our service life, we learn by doing. I'm very sorry. Some saints became my guinea pigs. Not that I make them the guinea pigs, but the circumstances was that I had to do something, and I learned, made some mistakes. But thank the Lord, a lot of those labor on people in the way of not just feeding them, nourishing them, helping them to read the Bible as such, all those things we need to do, helping them to have a life with the Lord, but something further, a kind of work to complete them, to equip them, to make them useful with a longer term view. This involves matter of life, this matters of truth, this involves matter of service, this involves the matter of their person. Well, even I myself was not that well developed. But nevertheless, I did something. I want to say this to encourage you. Even in smaller churches or newer churches, you can sit there and wait, where is the perfecter? When he's going to come? I'm in this little place. They never show up here. They always go to the big churches and so on. Well, I would say you do something. You pray, you look to the Lord, you read the books. I tell you, reading the books helps a lot. But the reading the books still is not a substitute for your own doing. For your own doing. You really mainly learn by doing. So a number of the ones that I helped to perfect and or worked on, or whatever word you want to use, eventually became very, very useful in latter years. Well, that became a great learning to me. And somewhat in so doing, I kind of perfected myself a little bit. You know what I'm saying? But I also need perfecting myself. So you say, how did I get perfected? Well, I have the, I would say from three directions, okay? Number one is I was lucky enough, fortunate enough to be near Anaheim. And so I, there are older brothers, and of course, specifically Brother Lee was there, and that is really the perfecter, okay? And I was lucky. I just was very privileged, very blessed, for sure. So that's one. Some older senior brothers who care for you and who really knows you to some degree and have a heart for your progress and your function and your development. All right? So that's number one. Number two is, as I say, in my case, read the books. The books is the greatest teacher. No, seriously, if you really get into them. Now, I don't mean you should be legal, you take the book and throw the book at people, so to speak. I don't mean that. You need to be before the Lord, you need to pray, you need to, but the principles and a lot of illustrations you can find in Watchman Nee's writing and Brother Lee's writings became immensely, immensely helpful to me. And apply those things, and I learned in the process how to do some of that kind of work. The third thing I would say is from your peers. In other words, those who are your same level as you. Don't think you cannot be perfected by your peers. Actually, you can learn a lot from your peers. You know, today even you go out to work in multinationals, in companies, a lot of your learning basically is not from your boss, from, you know what? It's from your team. Your team members, some are strong in this, some are strong in that, some are good in management, some are good in marketing, whatever. You basically expose yourself to them and you watch them, you imitate them, you pick their brains, you know what I mean? And through all of that, you actually learn. And even, I would say, you yourself also play a mentor role to some of those that are around you, maybe some interns or newcomers or those who are under you. All that is a kind of a perfecting going on. So I would say it's not bad to open yourself up to your peers, those who are just like you, and learn from each other. Perfect each other, if I may say so. Today I spoke to a brother at lunch. I strongly advised the brother to not only receive the Lord's speaking, the Lord's light and shining, but also to receive light and some frank, open fellowship in love from your co-workers, from your peers. You can learn a lot if your spirit is correct, to right there, right? So that's all I can say, at least from those three directions. And then you perfect others. Do a lot of perfecting of others. To perfect others is to raise them up. Raise them up to do things that you can do. Mentoring. It's really a kind of a mentoring in worldly terms. Okay? There's a lot to learn, I tell you, a lot to learn. But we need that. We need that. You know, the saints are kept from development because we, in the church life, we don't stress this enough. We just have general feeding, you know? And we all need general feeding, you know, the prophesying meeting, even the listening to the ministry. I consider all these the daily necessary food, to survive, to live. When it talk of, when we come to perfecting, we're talking about something more specific, and I would even say more personal. In my experience, I cannot perfect that thoroughly or that adequately a group of people like this. The best perfecting I do is one-on-one. That brother, I just have a burden, and I just work on him, so to speak. I have met now many young brothers. I just say, when I need to go to LAX, I mean the LA airport, 1 hour drive, I just call, brother, could you take me to the airport? Actually, I can have many drivers, right? Because I want to spend that hour with them. I want to check up on them, how they're doing, and sometimes I will tell them, brother, last week at that prophesying meeting, you were the one concluding, right? Let me tell you, let me dissect your conclusion and help you. You should not have said this. You should have, you know what I mean? That level, but not in a critical way, in a way of really concern and care. When you do this kind of fine level of perfecting, you see people rise up. You know, I'm perfected by Sister Lee. You know that? Sister Lee, Brother Lee's wife. So after I started we started Chinese speaking work, I was thrust into the Brother Lee's pulpit to fill his shoes to speak on Sunday. Brother Lee's gone. Now I am replacement of Witness Lee. Can you imagine how scary that was? So I have to thicken my skin and just do the impossible. So with terrible Mandarin accent, with not having handled the Chinese Bible for many, many years since I came to America, I have to pick it up. Spiritual vocabulary, all I knew was English by then. So I have to go back and kind of dig out those things, the sort of a lost language to me. And so it was terrible. I don't know whether you heard some. It was terrible. Today, I wish I can find out all those tape messages. One night, I will go and steal them and burn them. Because it's very embarrassing, very, very, very bad. Okay, so in those days, we go to Brother Lee's house often. You know, he called us for this and that fellowship. Oh, many times, Sister Lee will be standing there, you know, like this. This is not Brother Lee, this is Sister Lee, all right? Sister Lee, you know Sister Lee, very petite, and okay, all right. And then she'll proceed. Chen Sha, that's my name, you know. Minor Chen, okay. You should not make people laugh like that in your message. Too many jokes. Don't do that anymore. Okay, go in. See Brother Lee. 30 seconds, that's all. 30 seconds. Trust me, I got perfected. Not by Brother Lee, by Sister Lee. And that's more than once. He would correct my accent. No, seriously, my Mandarin, you know, my Putonghua accent. Well, I spent too much time on this one question. But brothers, we do too much general work in the church. Everything is everybody, general. In the end, you didn't raise up anybody. You just generally maintain a congregation. No, we really need a switch in concept. Much of our energy must be devoted, of course, the leading brothers and responsible ones, and even certain older sisters must acquire the concept to perfect a few under your hands, a few under your care, to do this kind of fine work because they produce more quality. The general work is good, but there's not much quality. It's more quantity, but to do quality work, in my experience, you have to perfect one-on-one. And you learn a lot by that type of perfecting. You need to know people, you need to know their situation humanly, spiritually. I tell you, the concern goes all the way to their personal life, their financial situation, their married life, many things. Not because you're nosy, you want to know everything. No. To perfect a person is 380-degree perfecting. You care for the entire person, and you do this, right? The young brothers, I said, brother, you are peculiar. Yeah. You may say, whoa. Yeah, yeah. You're peculiar in this matter. Another brother, I would say, brother, why are you having your smartphone all the time like this? We're meeting. I'm talking to you. We're in a fellowship. Then you're doing like this. Well, actually, he didn't mean to be disrespectful. It was his habit. I say, put aside that. When you meet fellowship, put that aside. Let's fellowship. Then we're listening to each other. I even respect you. If I do this, I have no respect for the fellowship or for the meeting, whatever is going on. Little things, right? But these are things that we need to perfect the young ones. Then these ones will become the right ones and useful ones. Right? There are many things, even in matters of truth, right? Certain matters of truth and life, so in many ways. Okay. I hope, yes. It's hard. No, it is hard. And you better be careful. Because I also have learned to try to perfect some older ones, and I got into trouble. You know why? I did something I shouldn't have done publicly. That became a great learning to me. I didn't do anything wrong in the sense, you know, that meeting was quite taken over by this long-winded brother. I mean, really long-winded. Taking away the time, you know, kind of throwing his age around. You understand what I'm saying. You know, the older ones. Okay. They're not aware. They're just like this. So at one point, I felt I need to do something because it's just too much. So I stood up in a very, you know, as proper a way as I could to say, brother, please sit down. Please give the saints a chance. Something like this. My goodness, a storm happened. A storm broke open after that at me. Oh, he was offended to the toenails. He was, I don't know whether he ever forgave me. So my point is, there's a learning here. Be very careful with older saints, all right? Don't go around, no. The older saints are the older ones. This is why when Solomon prayed for wisdom, the wisdom is how to go in and out of God's people. How to be with the older ones, how would be the younger ones. Even Paul taught, instructed, charged Timothy, specifically in chapter 5 of 1 Timothy, for the older men, older women, younger men, younger women. You remember that? How to treat each one. This is how you know how you ought to behave in the house of the living God. Paul was that fine. Paul was that particular in his perfecting of this young junior co-worker of his. So brother, I wouldn't say no, but you better know what you're doing and be very, very exercised. Don't easily adjust an older brother or sister. And I would say especially, don't do anything publicly that embarrasses, that causes them to lose face. You know what I mean, the face, this and that. You have to be very, very wise. Yeah. No questions? Yes.
Regarding the disposition,
yeah.
On this regard, can you give us some?
What do you mean? You mean perfect people in this area?
Yeah, in this different area, especially in service, coordination with his brothers.
Yeah, okay. Disposition is the hardest thing to touch because it's the depth of a person. When you touch a person's disposition, you're really, really touching the core of that person. Therefore, it is highly risky. Risky. So If you are not sure, if you are not, you don't have a certain level of assurance and confidence, I would say better not do it. You are taking quite a risk, all right? So, but assuming that you have the position, you have the openness, you have the way, right? Then I would say as the Lord leads, oftentimes this is an area that has to be touched. I mentioned that, brother, I said you're peculiar, you know. I didn't really say that, like, you are peculiar. I didn't do that. But in so many words, I was trying to enlighten him to his blind spot, what he did not see in himself. And fortunately, this is a younger brother, actually a full-timer in this case. And he's in my small group, so I observe the situation, and so I always take the chance to give him some help. And he is actually open. He was open to me. Has some respect and some openness to me. So I took that liberty. But even in that, I have to be very measured. Even when I speak, I have to sense the Lord so that I don't overkill. You know what I mean? I don't boil the what? Boil the kid in the mother's milk or something like that. I would be very careful not to do that. And I would do that in a slow way. And brothers, this kind of perfecting takes a great deal of patience. Patience. You just don't go and change somebody or just shape them up or, you know what I mean. No, it takes a lot of patience, a lot of love to give them the real help. And let me tell you, if you are not touched by the Lord in certain area, there's no way you can help others to experience that. You better check. Have I been touched by the Lord in this? If even you have not, then it's almost like, you know, it's hard to tell them. You know what I mean?
What about our own situation?
Oh, our own disposition?
Yes.
Oh my, this is 9 o'clock already. So. Well, of course, this is... it's my favorite subject. I say the same thing. I say the same thing as I told the brother. Number one, to certain ones that are senior than you, who may know you to some degree, and that you have a trust in, and they really, really love and care for you. And I got that kind of touch from some of these older brothers. I gave my testimony before. One of them is called Zhang Xiangzi Dixiong, Abraham Chen. I certainly got my dispositional perfecting from him, in my case, publicly. I mean, talk about losing face and embarrassed. It was a total embarrassment, but he didn't care. You know, he was a general. He's the U.S. Chinese nationalist general in the war, and he got saved in his later days. He married Sister Faith, who was a co-worker by then already in Shanghai and so in Nanjing or Shanghai and so on. Okay, so he is a general. I mean, he didn't play around. He does not play around, and he shoots straight. So I act as his interpreter going around USA in the early 80s, okay? Texas, Seattle, you know, Southern Cal, and all of this. So I was the only one that could translate for him into English. By then, I didn't have to speak Chinese yet. As long as I understood him, I can just interpret English. So I went around with him. So he stands like this, you know, his feet. He stands like this. He's a general. He's a soldier, right? And me, this little weakling, wimpy young man, would translate it for him. And have you seen Brother Abraham Chang? When he speaks, he is very fierce. Even his face is pretty scary. You know, when he even talk about love, it's very scary. So we were in Seattle with at that time, so I was translating for him. I still remember. And so I was standing here, he was standing there, and then side by side, boom, 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 like that. And all of a sudden, he stopped. In the middle of the message, he turned around to me. Forget the congregation, he turned around to me. With a very fierce face. Yeah, brother, release your spirit. Then he continued the message. Now, what are you going to do? I release my spirit. I absolutely release my spirit, at least as much as I could. I don't want another one, you know. I don't want him to turn around again and say that to me. Well, that touched my disposition. It's not that I don't know my spirit, but I was not catching up with him. You know, translation work almost is harder than giving the original message. So anyone who know have translated know that. But anyway, that became the great perfecting. But it has to come from him. Right? And I won't tell you my stories with Brother Lee. For another time, maybe I'll take it to my grave. And, that very penetrating, very unsparing. But only they are the right persons. And they are the ones with much concern for me, right? To do that kind of perfecting. So it's not easy, this kind of perfecting, touching someone else's core or disposition. But anyway, at the right time, with the right ones, we have, that is part of our perfecting. Yeah. Especially when that area of a person's disposition is already becoming a hindrance or an obstacle to him, unawares to him. Takes a lot of experience. Yeah, I know it's past 9. How about we entertain at least one more question? Actually, I think this kind of Q&A, I like it. Yeah. It's very free. Very. Yes. It may touch some particular need. You know. Yes. I agree with that, brother. I agree actually with that observation. I think it is. There's really truth behind that, at least in my observation of things. I think in the older days, there's a lot more stricter kind of upbringing, either in family or in school, for that matter. But something happened in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, where there's a kind of a change in the belief, in the methodology, or in the way we deal with the, or we raise up children or the young. There's a lot of combination of factors. I don't think there's one reason. One brother said this, and I think so, and that is certain older generation, having been through a hard life, somewhat don't want their children to go through that again. So they tend to be more soft and more, you know what I mean, more tolerant and more catering to their kind of a freedom or demands or whatever that may be. That is one factor, possible factor. Then in the 80s, 90s, there's a huge big thing in the educational realm called the importance of self-esteem. You know? So you start, people actually start inflating grades. Actually, you got a C, but you must give them an A so they feel good about themselves. You know what I mean? It is still happening today. And that almost has become a philosophy in the educational realm, in and even parental work to cater to the younger generation. I think all of these kind of produce a generation today, you know, like the millennials and even beyond now, not just millennials, but the next generation, where they are just kind of soft, kind of they have not experienced as much hardship, and also they have not received a lot of more proper kind of
discipline
or the proper kind of upbringing, which has to have this component in it. So life is easy, and they expect life to be easy. And any kind of headwind, any kind of difficulty, they fall apart. Am I right? They're not able to handle the life with all of its challenges. They're unable to cope. You know, in the U.S., I don't know, Canada, the rate of freshmen and sophomore in colleges that go to the university's counseling has doubled or at least increased by 50% since compared to, let's say, in the 70s or something like that. You know, everybody's popping pills. You know what I mean? Even you don't have much, you're depressed. Everybody's depressed, you know? In the old days, you know, you're depressed, go jump in the lake, you know? and go into the cold shower, you'll be okay. And now, I'm depressed, I can't take it. So anyway, there's a lot of these kind of societal changes and philosophical changes and so on. So in the church life, somewhat we got a bit affected. Now, what should we do? So I would say that we, if we have this kind of understanding and this kind of a burden, really with young people, with kids and all of this, it has to be the parents. If the parents don't change, you go and give a hard time to somebody's kid, you get a dressing down by the parents, right? So you have to be, it's a very, very, not an easy thing to do. But I do feel that we ourselves, at least in the spiritual realm, in the church life, can afford some more, to be a little bit more stronger with some of our young people, and especially those who are not, I'm talking about young people like this, I'm talking about, let's say, trainees, you know what I mean? Even some college age, I would say, don't be that easy on them. In a measure weight, brothers, let me say this, it's not a matter of being tough on kids. No, don't be so soft, be tough on them. It's that I don't think that is the healthy way of looking at things. I would put it this way. Have high expectation of them. They may not expect this, but you expect them that. You have greater expectation for them. And because of that greater expectation, you are more forceful, or you are more, you know, hard on them, so to speak. Not to make them feel bad, but make them come up. Make them come up. Right? In caring for the brothers, perfecting the brothers, there's this element in it. I always have great expectation of the brothers under my care. I want them to succeed, to be a good, spiritual, useful brother in the Lord's recovery. I have high expectation, and I push them to make them aim for something higher. Of course, not in the way of ambition and that kind of thing. Those things we all have, we need to deal with. But people need to aim high. You know, if you always keep them with low expectation, they will just live that way. There's no one putting any expectation on them. Even in the church life, we should have certain expectation of the saints, and especially of certain brothers. You should expect them to be better, to be stronger. If Paul didn't expect this of Timothy, you think he would write those epistles? He'll say, I stand with you, God, grace be with you, period. That's my letter. My, he wrote this, and do this, and don't do that, and pointing out even Timothy's problems and weakness. Why was he doing that? Because he expect Timothy, he had much expectation, and so his demands are a little on the higher side. I believe if Timothy read this, he will be touched. So I think our motive is not to dress down them, be hard on them. That's not the motive. The motive is we expect the best out of them, that their potential will be developed for the sake of the Lord's need for the church. Yeah, that's a good question. Good question. Well, if the other people will stay here, then we stay. I will not make the decision.
It's okay.
Okay, he said it's okay. So, David, Brother David.
How we can have a proper fellowship with Western Canada and Eastern Canada? The situation like this, during the turmoil in the Eastern Canada, many gave it was sent to Eastern Canada to help this area. And now the situation is in Eastern Canada, the more very good universities. And Western Canada started sending their children to study in this area. But I was from Western Canada, I was saved there. I know there are a lot of gifted since they were equipped with the truth and from other countries, and they are very gifted. So how we let them have a burden? Now this is only send their children study in the Eastern Canada, come and laboring on those campuses. This is the full, we have a goal, the double. And
how? Yeah. You have to talk to the brothers in Western Canada. but I would say this. I see your point. I do see your point. And I don't know what to do. You know, this matter surely is a matter of fellowship in the body. One part of the body meeting the need of another part of the body. Hence, you have matters of migration, the matters of traffic and so on. We should all be body conscious, right? For this reason. I can see how a parent, let's say, whose kid is sent to another place for school, and that they can follow them for 4 years. While they're in school, they also, the parents, if they are available or free or burden, can help not only their child, but that situation. And then when they graduate, they can go home, you know? A four-year stint of a four-year migration or something like that. Now, I'm not suggesting anything here. I am just saying that we have to meet needs. You know, a lot of times, brothers, in taking care of the Lord's work and the churches, we're a little bit too much on principle, but forgetting the need. Sometimes. So, and I don't mean we should violate principles. That's not what I'm saying. But we do need to be open to meet certain needs in a flexible manner. So I have no answer to that. I think it really is a matter of the fellowship. But I also think today there are a lot more traffic, right? A lot more fellowship between the two sides of Canada, as there should be. And I think as the fellowship continue to build and increase, some of these things may simultaneously happen. Marriages, and you know what I mean, crisscrossing in schools, and...
crisscrossing downward, not horizontal.
Downward. I know Robert would say that. Yeah, yeah. Well, okay. Well, Robert, my answer to you is the last 10 years is a certain period. It's called transition. You know, the situation in Canada is, you know, a little bit in flux. But now I think Canada, 10 years later, is a different Canada. I mean, the recovery in Canada is different. There's more, that means the churches are more stable. The turmoil is over. There's a direction here. We're going to build the full-timer contingent, young working saints and the responsible ones. I like to declare 2016 is a new season and a new era for Canada.
Amen.
We're building Canada. Amen. We're building up the recovering Canada to a situation that we have never seen, David. Amen. You haven't seen anything yet.
Amen.
The old days are not the glory days. The future is the glory days.
Amen.
When you and I may not even be around. We should look at things that way. So with that in view, I think we should not let so many from here just go to the black hole of USA, you know, and disappear there. Now you can, why don't you marry them and bring them over here? You know what I mean? You even tell America, you've done enough, now it's our turn. We got to reverse the situation. Of course, I don't mean this to be in, you know, in any kind of competition or any kind of rivalry. Brothers, you know, we're in the body. So, but I do mean that. It's time to build Canada. And I'm burdened standing here to be on the side of this side of the border to do what I can to help.
So, Minoru, can you go back to Anaheim?
Well, I am doing that already. Okay. Yes, I can do that. I can help to do that. I cannot guarantee results or performance, okay? I can only...
High expectation.
And I'm very much involved. I'm involved in many districts and areas. Well, one of the main ones, as some of you know, is the Bay Area. So recently, many of the co-workers went down as a team to Anaheim for the first time. I've never seen this even in FTTA, not a church visiting their own FTTA, but a whole region meeting with the whole region. What's wrong with some of you brothers going down together from East and Western Canada to meet with all Canadian trainees? And I checked today with some brother, how many Canadian trainees there now? 27. I heard 25. 27. My good. Well, whatever, all put together, why not have a visit by some of the co-workers or leading brothers here to present to them Canada is coming alive.
We actually do have a dinner spring.
Oh, okay.
We do that.
Oh, okay. You have that. And if you don't feel free to use the word recruit, I will. mainly to put the burden within them, you know, because there's a need. There's a need. Absolutely. For example, another thing, French translation. Okay, let's take that for example. Let's say if in your locality in Eastern Canada or Middle Canada, whatever, you have the right person, you know, with the right skill set, and they need translators here in Montreal, then you should consider, hey, send them over here. We don't care for our own, just our own little place. We care for the body. I mean, this is a wonderful way to practice the body life. What you give the Lord will more than replace. Or someone who is good for BFC. They need someone who can full-time manage an enterprise, that thing. And so where are they? Let's find out. You know, in one church, you have only a small pool of candidates. In the whole recovery, I mean, whole Canada, you have 25,000 saints. There's bound to be someone there that would be suitable. So all this, we just fellowship and make it work. We will move much faster that way than each church just doing their own thing. And yeah. But all these are very good questions. Let's go till 9:30. How about that? So is it still time for some questions? I love Q&A. I just absolutely love it. Knowing measure, what is the question?
Just about understanding that not going beyond our measure.
Well, okay, there are two ways of knowing your measure, all right? One way is actually, you know. You may say, whoa, really? Yes. Not maybe to the complete and fullest degree, but if we all have a certain measure in life, if we have a certain experience in the body life, church life, I don't think you would be one that would be so overreach, to so go beyond a measure. Maybe a little bit here and there, but I don't think you would dare. You would have the gumption or the boldness to just so much out of place beyond what is measured to you. I think actually there is something within us called the anointing, called the Lord, that tells you you're way beyond. You're really, this is not your. And then not only that, but brothers, we all have worked some. We have some human life experience. We all know something called boundaries, don't we? And this week, we actually have all these messages on boundaries that we didn't have time to get into. You have to get into yourself. We all just soberly all should have a certain sense of our boundary as a human being. You just know if I say this to that brother, I'm totally out of place. I am 15 years old. He is 75 years old. I don't talk to him in that way. Unless you are totally wild, you're absolutely untrained, then I have nothing to say. If you have some kind of upbringing in society, you will never talk to a senior person in that kind of disrespectful way. That's boundary. A boundary between male and female, all right? There is a boundary that you should know if you have been brought up in a somewhat of a proper way. The boundaries. I mean, there's a lot of things on boundaries. Boundaries between elders and deacons, boundary. You know, there's a lot of these things. And I think, actually, even without anyone telling you, just by growing up, just by watching and learning, you have a certain sense, inwardly, spiritually, and also humanly, from your human training. But other than that, brothers, I would say this, the other way is through the correction and the adjustment of other members in the body, especially those who are more experienced than you, more senior than you. You may not realize you have gone overboard or you have gone beyond your measure. Sometimes even in the way even you speak in a meeting. You know, some young brothers, they stand up, they speak like they have this elder's air, huh? That's beyond, totally beyond their position. But they think they are something. Then this is an occasion for some perfecting. Brothers, no, you, even the way you gesture, the way you deport yourself is not fitting to your position and so on, right? So some kind of help like this will help us not to go beyond, right? You know, the co-workers today all have different gifts, all have different function. You know, we all know that I just don't have that measure. The other brother does. I should not go beyond that. And there's a kind of a mutual understanding or respect organically in the way of life. And when there is, everyone is, have that kind of awareness and exercise, then you have a very beautiful situation. Otherwise, it's wild. You know, in a situation where is that not this kind of awareness, it's just wildness. Actually, it's called disorder. God is a God of peace, a God of order. It doesn't mean oppression. It doesn't mean control. Well, it is control. It is the throne in us controlling each one of us, right? And there is a proper order in the body. Okay, another question.
I talk very short. To be perfected, it's not to be good man, it's to be God man.
Yes.
But right now I understand it's saying not complete. It need to be not only vertical, it need to be horizontal.
Mm-hmm. Well, when we say perfecting, of course, it actually involves both sides. We are not angels, right? And we're not all God yet, right? We're still man. We are man. We're God man. And so in the end, to be a full and complete God man, it doesn't mean we become just spiritual. Actually, you know what? We become very human. People ask me, what does God look like? I say God looks like a man. What is to be, to live Christ? It is actually displayed in his humanity, in the humanity. So don't have the idea to be perfected, to become a God-man. You become angelic, you become just spiritual. No. On the contrary, the more spiritual you become, actually the more human you become. But not human in just a worldly, ethical, moral sense, but human in a Christly sense, but nevertheless, still human. A lot of the training, brothers, that we need to render to the younger generation is not just to help them to be spiritual. In my finding, to help them to be properly human, Christly human. So this matter of the humanity of Jesus is a great, great subject, right? They don't contradict each other, the spiritual and the human. They don't contradict each other. Eventually, they are one. You know, like building up character and growing in life. Ooh, these are like two diverse things. Grow in life, build up character. Well, I will grow in life. I don't need to build up my character. This is human effort. Well, you're wrong. You're wrong. While we grow in life, we still need what? We need a proper building up of our human character. And in the end, according to the Brother Lee, these two things will converge. Life and character becomes one thing. But the younger we are, the more we need to do both. While we grow in life, we need to still build up a godly and a useful character, right? So anyway, okay, 9:30, we better stop here. Otherwise, we won't come back tomorrow. Okay, then who's announcement here?